We have a theme for Oceanside this year, and it's referred to as I Am Resolved. And once a month, I do my best to try to preach a lesson on that particular theme. I almost missed it this month, didn't I? Today is the day that I'm going to preach about that, and it is the last day of the month. I barely got it in. But the resolve that we're going to talk about this morning is, as far as I am concerned, the most important resolve that any of us could possibly make. If you and I will grasp this resolve, if we truly make it our own, folks, it will radically alter your life. Not only will it radically alter your life, but it will also bring your life peace and joy. And when I say your life, I'm talking about your spiritual life. I believe that the resolve that you and I are going to discuss this morning is the one resolve that God desires for every human being upon the face of the earth. The resolve about which we are speaking involves a couple of passages of Scripture. The first one is Matthew 6, verse 24. Jesus says, "No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." The second passage of Scripture is found in Mark 12, 29 and 30. Jesus is speaking again, and the Bible says this, "Jesus said unto him, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." Folks, the title of our lesson this morning is simply this: I am resolved to love God, watch these words, with my all. Before we actually get into the lesson, I want to make two or three points. The first one is this. Folks, this lesson needs to count. Now, every time a preacher gets in the pulpit, he hopes the lesson counts. He hopes the lesson matters. But today, this lesson needs to count. Secondly, this particular lesson needs to resonate in the heart of every man, woman, and child who is in this building this morning. Folks, this lesson needs to make us stop and needs to make us do some serious reflecting as far as our spirituality is concerned. And lastly, this lesson needs to sober our spiritual man. When I prepare for a lesson, the first thing I do is I write the title at the top of a sheet of paper. This one, I am resolved to love God with my all. And then what I do is I just begin to brainstorm about that particular topic. And I just begin to write down as many things as I possibly can that surround and are involved in that particular topic. And that's what I did for this lesson. And it's my brainstorming that you are about to see on the screen above. The first thing that I thought of as I brainstormed is this: there is no room for divided affection. Isn't that what Jesus said in Matthew 6, 24? No man can serve two masters. For either he will, listen to him, hate the one and love the other. Folks, that's divided affection. Or else he will hold the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Loving God is not something that involves divided affection. John put it well in 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Now listen to what he says. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Folks, that's powerful language. He didn't say, if you love the things of the world, then you can have a little love for God. He says this, if you love the world, then the love of the Father is not in you. Regardless of what you think, regardless of what you believe about yourself, it is not in you. We have so many things that divide our affections, don't we? Oh, we want to love God, but there's those lusts of the world out there. Oh, we want to love God, but what about me? And so self gets a lot of our passion. We want to love God, and then all of a sudden what we find ourselves doing is the very opposite of that, and in some way we are in denial of Him. The Bible often talks of individuals who have divided loyalties, divided affections. Maybe they have an appearance of religiousness. Maybe they have an appearance of spirituality, but yet it's not truly there. 1 Timothy 3, verse 5 says this, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Oh, there's the facade, there's the outward show, there's the display to others, but deep down inside, there's the lack of power of godliness in that individual's life. Titus says in Titus 1 verse 16, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Here they are. They say, oh yes, I know God. I love God. I want to serve God. And yet you look at their lives and guess what? A divided loyalty. Folks, there can be no divided affections when it comes to our loving God with our all. A couple of examples. King Saul divided loyalties, didn't he? Well, he started off well. And we could go into Saul's life in great detail in this lesson. But most of us know about King Saul. King Saul, in his mind, wanted to obey God, wanted to do His will, but when it came time to actually do it, so oftentimes he yielded to his own desires and to the desires of the people. Folks, you can't do that. That's divided affection. Jesus hit it hard with the Jews of His day, did He not? Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their lips, and honoreth me with their mouth, but their heart is far from me. Matthew 15, verses 7 and 8. Just think about that. Here are parts of the body honoring God, the mouth and the lips. And yet, when you get beyond the mouth and you get down deep into the heart, Jesus says, they're not with me. Their heart is far, far from me. Folks, if you and I are going to love God with our all, we cannot have any divided affections. The second thing that I thought of is this. Loving God begins within. Isn't that what Jesus said? He opens His statement in Mark chapter 20. And verse 30 with three words, heart, soul, mind. He says that's where love begins. It begins deep on the inside of the individual. As I was thinking about this concept of what this means, 4 points came to mind. Number one, if I'm truly going to love God with my all, first, I have to have a knowledge of Him. A knowledge of Him. But notice, secondly, I've got to understand that knowledge. I know that I can go out here and put a key in my car and turn it on, and guess what? There's a motor in it. And that motor somehow propels the rest of the car, and guess what? I can get to lunch this afternoon if I want to. But guess what? Vic has absolutely no understanding of all of that. I have a little knowledge, but not much understanding of how it all works. You see, we need more than just knowledge. Notice this. After we get the understanding of the knowledge, guess what we have to do? We have to come to an appreciation of that understanding. You know, this makes sense. This is something that I appreciate. This is something that I care about. This is something that is vital. This is something that is important. Yes, now I truly, truly understand. Folks, I've got to go one step further, and I have to do this. I have to make a decision about the knowledge that is now mine. Now, right now, you're probably lost in la-la land somewhere. What in the world is he talking about? So let me give you two illustrations. The first is out of the secular world, and the second is spiritual in nature. Anybody ever had a challenging, hard, difficult, what we would refer to as mean teacher in school? Yeah, those are well known. It was interesting when I first went from high school to college. You know, you get to select your classes and you get to select your teachers, don't you? And so you get this list, and the first thing somebody says, who do you have for English? And so they look on there and they say, ooh, you don't want her. Why? Oh, she's hard and she's mean and she's tough. She makes you read. She's got homework. She makes you do papers. She's going to hold you accountable. And you go, ugh. You take the class, and guess what you say? I can't stand that teacher. I mean, it's almost as if you loathe them, don't you? It's almost as if you hate them. And many of the kids do. But guess what? What if I gained some knowledge about this teacher? Knowledge about her home life. Knowledge about the fact that she was a high school dropout. Knowledge that this particular teacher made some pretty serious mistakes in life. This teacher never graduated high school. She only got a GED. And from there, she went on to undergraduate school and to graduate school. And she graduated with a degree in education, and now she's been teaching for 15 or 20 years. And out of that time, 4 years, she has made Teacher of the Year in the nation. Not only that, she has written a textbook about education as well. Folks, now I have a knowledge about this woman. And guess what some kids would say? Who cares? Right? Because guess what? There's no real understanding of the knowledge. She had a hard home life. Her mom and dad died when she was 2. Since that time, she was taken from foster home to foster home to foster home, and in at least 2 of those, she was abused severely. She never did well in school. She never enjoyed school. And therefore, yes, she became a high school dropout at the age of 16. She involved herself in drugs. She involved herself in all kinds of sexual exploits. She lived as a person on the streets, deep in sin. And yes, one time she was arrested and imprisoned for 6 months. She had a child out of wedlock after that. At the age of 27, she said, I've had enough. She gets her GED, and by the age of 32, she has a master's degree in education. She devotes herself now to teaching. And yes, she's hard, and yes, she's difficult, and yes, she's challenging, but 4 years, she has won Teacher of the Year in the nation. And she has a textbook that is out on education. Why? Because she loves her students. Why? Because she does not want her students to have to go through what she went through. Why? Because she wants better for them. Why? Because she knows what can happen if you don't have this. Now I have an understanding, don't I? Now the next question is this: am I going to appreciate that knowledge? Wow. I walk into class now with all of that understanding of what she's went through, and guess what? I look at that woman as a different person, don't I? She's not the same person she was yesterday. I understand too much. I know too much now. And yes, she's hard, and yes, she's difficult, and yes, she can be challenging, and yes, she stays on me, but guess what? Now I appreciate all of that. And anybody that I hear talk badly about her from now on, we'll get a good dose of Victor. Because now I don't despise that woman. I love her for what she does for me. You see, folks, love begins where? Within. Now let's move that over into the spiritual realm, and there's some things that humanity needs to know about God, don't they? And we could focus on any one of these three that I have. We need to go out and we need to teach individuals who God is, don't we? Secondly, we need to teach them about His love for mankind. And a third thing that mankind needs to understand about God is this: He has a deep, deep desire for our good, not our bad, not our evil, not our punishment. He wants us to have good in life and beyond. You see, we could go next door and we could knock on the door and we could say, "Hey, do you know who God is?" "Oh, yeah." "Do you know He loves you?" "Oh, yeah." "Do you know He wants your good?" "Oh, yeah." You see, they have this knowledge. They've heard about it. But do they understand it? I've underlined the second one: God's love for man. Because it's the one that we talk about all the time, is it not? Folks, there's a verse, 1 John 4:19, that says this: "We love Him." Why? "Because He first loved us." Now what you have is a beginning: God loves us, and an end: we love Him. But there's a lot in between that, isn't there? God loves me. What does that mean? Now I need to have an understanding of that love, don't I? God created me. God created me in His likeness and in His image. God gave me a law by which to live, and yet man violated that law, and man became lost in sin. God could have destroyed man, but He refused not to. Rather than that, He sends His precious Son, Jesus Christ, in the likeness of men, who lives a perfect life and offers Himself as a sacrifice upon the cross of Calvary, sheds His blood in payment for sin, was buried, rose again, now He is living on the right hand of the throne of God. Why? Because He loves you. Now I have an understanding of the love of God. Folks, that's a 2-minute synopsis of the gospel. That took our Lord 30 years of living to put in place, didn't it? But you see, now I have to ask myself, do I appreciate what He did? Do I really care? Is it that big of a deal? You see, I can have the knowledge and I can have the understanding, and I can still look at that event 2,000 years ago and say, so what? Who cares? That's 2,000 years ago. Or folks, it can bring me to my knees in appreciation for what God has done on my behalf. And guess what? Then I have a decision to make, don't I? And what ought to happen is what's in that verse right there. I love Him because He first loved me. And I love Him deep, deep, deep from the inside. That's what I'm talking about. Love God with my all. Boy, preacher, that's a mouthful. What in the world are you talking about? You ready for this list? Folks, whatever you and I have, and whatever we are, guess what? God deserves it. I'm talking about my mind. I'm talking about my talents. I'm talking about my behavior. I'm talking about my voice. I'm talking about my example. I'm talking about my time. I'm talking about my money, my activities. Folks, I'm talking about my faith. I'm talking about all of my energy. Whatever it is that I have, giving God all, it means everything. There is not one iota that is left out, not one, of anything that I have for God. Let me give you an illustration. My voice. Folks, God wants my voice. Did you know that? And if I'm going to love Him, He has to have my voice. And we could go into a whole sermon about what it means to love God with my voice. Number one, speak the truth. Wherefore, putting away lying, let every man speak truth with his neighbor, the Bible says. You see, that's part of loving God with my voice. I could talk about kindness. Be ye kind one to another. That virtuous woman, of Proverbs 31, the Bible says that in her tongue was the law of kindness. There is a way to talk to people, isn't there? With our voice, and it's kindness. Oh, we could talk about so many other things, encouragement. Folks, one of the reasons we're here today is to provoke one another to love and good works, to encourage one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. Christianity is hard. Yes, we're out there in an ugly, mean, nasty world, but guess what? We come together and we provoke one another to keep up the fight and to keep doing what needs to be doing. Something we do with our voice. Forgiveness. I forgive you. What about the next one? Rebuke. You see, sometimes our friend needs a rebuke, don't they? The Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, He what? He chasteneth. Folks, there's times when an individual is wrong. There's times when an individual is in sin. There's times when an individual needs to hear the rebuke that comes from our mouth. And it's not out of hate. It's not out of spite. It is because we love them. Do it to our children all the time, don't we? There's also counsel. Hearty counsel of a man's friend is like perfume and ointment, the writer of Proverbs says. You see, I've got to give everything to God, and part of that's my voice. But notice also my activities. Folks, everything that I involve myself in, I've got to give that to God if I'm going to love Him with my all. And we're talking about all kinds of things. My music, my games, my movies, my texting, my blogging, my reading, my exercise, my recreation, whatever I involve myself in, it needs to manifest my love for the Almighty God. I'm just skimming the surface because if I got down into the details, it gets nasty. Do you know that? When you get down into the application, people don't like it. Folks, that's what we're talking about, loving God with my all. This next section that I'm about to talk to you about, one day I'm going to develop into a lesson all of its own. To love God, we must, number one, know Him. Watch that statement. Folks, you can't love somebody you don't know. Do you know that? Don't even know them. How can I love them? Secondly, in order to love God, I've got to communicate with Him. I've got to let Him communicate me with through His Word. I've got to communicate with Him through the avenue of prayer. Because you see, communication is the essence of a relationship. Two people never talk, never say a word to one another. May even live under the same roof. Do they really love one another? To love God, I have to be with Him. Folks, what I mean by that is exactly what it says. I've got to be in His presence. I can't do everything I can do to get away from Him. I've got to want to be with Him. Long distance love affairs are difficult, aren't they? If not impossible. We have many military men in our audience, and I appreciate them and their wives because it's difficult, isn't it? Love at a distance is hard, and folks, there are many military men whose families have been ripped apart because of distance, because you see, love is hard when there's distance between an individual that we love. Watch this. In order to love God, I must put Him first. Folks, God is too great of a being to be second or third or fourth or, watch this, last on my list of priorities. He's too great for that. If I'm going to love God, I must obey Him. Folks, that's not my test. That's the divine test of love, is it not? If you love me, what? Keep my commandments, John 14, verse 15. That's the divine test of love, to obey God. If I'm going to love God, I've got to be loyal to Him. Look at some of the definitions of loyal. Be devoted, true. Be behind one, to be on one side. To be an individual who is unfailing in my support of that individual. If I'm truly going to love God, I cannot be ashamed of Him. That little word ashamed means this, to have shame, disgrace, and remorse about Him. Folks, there can be nothing about God, nothing about His Word, nothing about His beautiful bride, the church, nothing about the Savior, nothing about anything religious that I am ashamed of, that I despise, that I have remorse in. I can't be ashamed of Him, not if I love Him. I've got to worship Him. Because you see, our love is expressed to God in our devotion for who He is. How can God have loved us so much and I don't have the wherewithal to come and prostrate myself before Him in thanksgiving for what He's done for me? How do you do that? To love Him, I have to give to Him. Folks, love always, always wants to show the other individual how much that it really loves them. We old men, we're not too good, wives, at saying, honey, or syrup, I love you. Okay? I bet you Adam tried that on Eve, and it didn't go over, and it ain't never been used again. Not syrup. Okay. But see, guys aren't too good at that. But guess what we are good at? Flowers, chocolates, diamonds, pedicures, manicures. You see, guess what we're trying to do? We're trying to get you to know that we love you. And what do? You just rip it up, throw it up. I just want to hear it from you. I'm doing all I can do to tell you. Because we give. And folks, when we come here and we pass that collection plate, it's not a matter of have to. God's looking at that plate and He's saying, how much does He love me? Because my giving expresses my love. Love serves others, does it not? Folks, God's love is in us. And all we can do is manifest that love to other individuals, and therefore we go out and serve other individuals as a part of showing my love for the Almighty God. I've got to lose self, don't I? Notice that if I don't, then I'm again dealing with that idea of divided loyalties. Self versus God, self versus God, self versus God. And folks, people fight that battle every day. I've got to lose self. I was glad Aaron sang that song. None of self and what? All of thee. Watch this last one. Folks, if I'm going to love God, I've got to be fervent. I'm talking about having a fire underneath me, to be boiling hot for the Almighty God, to be earnest, and to be in this with a whole heart. This piecemeal service, this a little bit here, a little bit there. Sometimes I'll be faithful, sometimes I won't be faithful. I'll give Him an hour a week. What are we talking about? We're talking about love for the Almighty God. We're talking about love for the most wonderful being that has ever existed, folks. I want to give Him my all, and I want to show Him with everything that I possibly can. You know, there's a lot of examples of love in Scripture. Did you know that? And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Love. I will go in unto the king, which is not according to law. And if I perish, I perish. Esther's love for God. Be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, neither will we worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Love for God. Isn't it? Then came a certain poor widow, and she cast in to the treasury 2 mites, which make a farthing. Love for God. What was it that Jesus says? She gave all. Then came Mary with a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly. And she anointed Jesus' feet and began to wipe His feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the smell of the ointment. Love for God. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Love for God. Dorcas. Peter walks into a room of crying widows. And what do? They go over and they begin to show him the coats and garments which she had made. That was her life's work, folks. Her service to the Almighty God. Giving to others. Using the talents that she had. Love for God. What was it that Saul said? But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Love for God. Folks, resolving to love God with our all should be the most important endeavor of our lives. I can't stress it enough. And you want to know what the most frustrating thing for me is? It's this. How do we develop the want to? How do we develop the wherewithal to love God with our all? How do we do that? I wish there were a pill that we could just give to everybody, right? Here, take this pill and you'll love God with all your fiber from now till you die. Boy, I'd have a dose of them. Give them out free. Because you see, it's hard to get people to do this. How do we break the chains of all those things that keep us from loving God with our all. How do we do that? The chain of self, the chain of the things in the world, the chains of relationships, jobs, school, popularity, power, whatever it might be. How do we break those chains away from individuals so that they can love God with everything they have? In the life of Jesus, there's an occasion in John 21, verse 15, where Jesus is standing eyeball to eyeball, toe to toe with Peter. And he addresses him by name. He says this, Simon, son of Joseph. Uh-oh, that's almost like your second name, isn't it? He's got his attention. Then he asks him a question. I'm not worried about Peter. He's gone. I'm worried about Vic because he's here. And what if Jesus came and he said something like this? Victor Michael, that's second name. It's serious. Lovest thou me more than these? There's the question, folks. There's the question. We sing a song that asks a question of us, and it's this. What would your answer be? What would it be? Do you love God with your all? Folks, make that your resolution for the rest of this year. 4 months is gone. It's unbelievable, isn't it? We have 8 more months of this year. And this is the most important resolution we could make. Maybe today you need to show your love for God by obeying the gospel. You know what you need to do. The steps are simple. They're the same as what was done on the day of Pentecost 2,000 years ago. Those individuals heard the gospel preached for the first time. Cried out, men and brethren, what must we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Folks, it's just that simple. We do what they did 2,000 years ago. Man can deny it. Man can say that's not what you need to do. That's not a part of the plan of salvation. Peter said that it is. And if you're going to love God, you're going to have to yield to His divine instructions. Dear Christian, can you honestly look at your life and say, you know, my life manifests loving God with my all. It's a toughie, isn't it? That's a toughie. Is there something you need to repent of? Is there something that's keeping you separate from the Almighty God? Do you need to deal with that this morning? Do you need to respond to this invitation? Won't you come as we stand and sing?